Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Are you ready for some football commercials? CBS knows you are when it comes to that big game ahead in Los Angeles. Super Bowl's Greatest Commercials begins its third CBS decade next Tuesday night, and executive producer Robert Horowitz joins me next in an internet radio exclusive. February also is a big month for fast-rising Creo TV Network, playing through smart TV sets and devices. Learn why next half hour from Chief Executive Gina Snodgrass. A&E will introduce its viewers tonight to the unreal world of adults adopting adults. A preview from executive producer Danny Pachman begins our second hour. And why are people buzzing about Astrid and Lily Save the World, sci-fi's new Wednesday night sensation? We'll pose that query to the proven twosome, executive producers Noelle Stamen and Betsy Van Stone. Also ahead, ABC stations have given birth to local news channels, Halo's countdown to debut, and our classic trivia answer. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio. I was then on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, the iRadio Podcast Network, Burple, and Reason. This just in, last day of January 2022 already, and tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book or two when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in our program. Happy Monday afternoon to you and all. You are out to settle in for a great 2 hours of the program all about TV's current and future. We have a great guest lineup for you today, and we invite you to be fully in with our guests. How? You pick up the phone, you dial in, and you use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. That number is good anywhere you're calling us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, or TuneIn Radio. Also be involved with our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. It's all ready for you right now. Just go in to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised, and go to SimonApple04, and you can be in the room posing questions, comments to our guests. While the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk speaker to the screen. Follow the instructions. He'll be live with you. 30 degrees here in the New York Metro area at the top of the hour. And Robert Horowitz from Super Bowl Greatest Commercials coming next week on CBS will join us after these news notes. The local regional all-news channel marketplace made a big leap this morning. ABC's eight-owned TV stations launched 24/7 services around the United States, including New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, and Philadelphia. Each service mixes live news coverage with simulcasts or replays of broadcast station newscasts, public affairs series, and material from ABC's localish channels. All eight channels are distributed to viewers through smart TV sets and devices. After more than a decade of development, iconic Xbox game Halo is set to make the mark as a live-action scripted series. Paramount Plus will premiere Halo with a cast including Pablo Schreiber, Natasha McElhone, and Jen Taylor March 24th. Amblin Television developed the series, which originally was earmarked for Showtime, after Xbox owner Microsoft canceled plans to use Halo in a proposed interactive TV venture. Halo's official trailer was unveiled on CBS yesterday at halftime of the AFC Conference Championship game. At least two more video games started their road to TV fortunes earlier today. Action-adventure title American McGee's Alice from Electronic Arts will be scripted by X-Men writer David Hayter. Separately, Hazelight Studios' fantasy game It Takes Two will let DJZ Entertainment, which is working on a Netflix anime series of popular franchise Tomb Raider, work out a television series. Both undertakings do not have a network or programming service deal at this time. Now some quickies before our first guest. NBC Universal's Winter Olympics coverage, which begins Wednesday on the USA Network, will feature 84 play-by-play, commentator, reporter, and host personnel. Ultimate Cowboy Showdown with Trace Adkins will begin Season 3 April 21st on INSP. Jennifer Garner will join the cast of Starz Party Down Revival. Breaking news in the last half hour, Hulu will go forward with Up Here, a musical rom-com series. No casting yet. The show will be produced in New York, and production will start this summer. 8 episodes planned. And Sherry Chung, the composer on Kung Fu and other series on the CW, will become the first woman to be governor of the Television Academy's music branch. And we should point out that Chung was on this program when Kung Fu started last spring. And that is news notes for today. We are still awaiting Robert Horowitz, the executive producer of Super Bowl Greatest Commercials, All-Time Classics, which will premiere on CBS next Tuesday, February 8th at 8 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time. And it should be pointed out that this year's edition will again be co-hosted by Boomer Esiason, this time joined by one of the stars of CBS's NCIS Los Angeles, Daniela Roth. So we hope to have Robert Harwich any moment. Robert, if you're listening to us, make the call, 646-652-2906. And as soon as I see that you're on the ready to go on the air, we'll get you on. In the meantime, we'll go ahead and give you our classic trivia answer. We have been buying this classic trivia question for the last 2 weeks. And I'm sorry to say, we did not get a winner. We're still looking for our first Tomorrow Will Be Televised classic trivia winner of 2022. We'll have to wait till tomorrow to try to get that winner. But anyway, here's the question that we posed over the last 2 weeks. Name the Cartoon Network TBS animated series co-created by TBS and Cartoon Network founder Ted Turner. The answer? Captain Planet and the Planeteers, or Captain Planet in short. The show originally ran on Cartoon Network and TBS from 1992. Remember that series, Captain Planet, protecting the environment, saving the world from environmental villains with the help of some really great kids. And remember the famous slogan at the end of the show, the power is yours. And incidentally, after the original run of the series, it came back under new adventures that were put together by Hanna-Barbera. And the series ran on both Cartoon Network and TBS, as well as syndication, from 1993 to 1996. In all, 113 episodes were produced and presented. So once again, the answer to our classic trivia question of the last 2 weeks, Captain Planet and the Planeteers, that's the animated series that was on Cartoon Network and TBS that was co-created by Ted Turner. And incidentally, we would have taken Captain Planet also as an answer if somebody put it in. So anyway, no winner. That means no five prizes being awarded. But tomorrow, we'll have a brand new classic trivia question for you on our hour-long special. And if you're first with the correct answer, we will get you those five prizes. Those prizes include the Loud House crayon set from Nickelodeon, Freak Brothers TV set from Hulu, that's Fox's multi-channel bundle service. We've got the two big books, Betty White, One of the Remarkable Moments in Extraordinary Life. By the way, the Betty White special is on tonight on NBC, the local NBC station. Also, the unofficial Hocus Pocus cookbook with Bette Midler from that movie that she's now making a new version of it that will be on Disney Plus and Halloween, we understand. And finally, the big DVD from last month's special on PBS and BYU TV, 20 Years of Christmas with the Tabernacle, formerly the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. That special, by the way, was again on PBS and BYU TV last month. The DVD has bonus material in it that is not from both of those specials or both those presentations. So anyway, we'll have the question for you for those five prizes. They'll stay in play on tomorrow's special, hour-long special. And if you're first with the correct answer, you win those prizes. How do you do that? You email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and where you're emailing from. If you're first with the correct answer, you will win. If we don't get a winner by end of day tomorrow, we'll post the question on Wednesday morning on Facebook and on Twitter. Facebook at Simon Applebaum and Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. That's at UBC Simon TWBT. All right? We are still waiting for Robert Harwich, the executive producer of the ongoing CBS special. It's become an annual favorite the week before the Super Bowl. That Super Bowl's greatest commercials all-time classics. Incidentally, you'll have a chance on that special to vote for one of 10 all-time classic commercials that ran on previous Super Bowls. And the winner will be announced at the end of the special. So hopefully Rob will be along shortly. Robert, if you're listening, give us the call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat and let us know what's going on. And as soon as I see that you're ready to go on the air, we will put you on the air. In the meantime, I'm going to take a moment, or a few moments actually, and offer a commentary I originally was going to do on tomorrow's show. But by the way, let me tell you, we have a great program coming your way tomorrow at our regular time, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. Joining us will be from the new Fox series that will premiere on the 1st of February, tomorrow night at 9 p.m. Eastern Pacific time, The Real Dirty Dancing. We will have the executive producer of that series. He's also the showrunner, too, Dan Martin. And also one of our great friends, the popular Queens Chronicle sports, TV, and lifestyle columnist, the one and only Lloyd Carroll will join us. We'll talk to him about what he thinks about the Super Bowl and how it may work on television this year. Don't forget, last year, the Super Bowl had its lowest audience in recent years, 91 million households paying attention. And we'll also talk about the Olympics on NBC Universal, how that will stand from Beijing, as well as the Super Bowl's role in maybe boosting the audience for it. And we'll talk about other sports and TV topics as well. So that is Dan Martin from The Real Dirty Dancing, the executive producer and showrunner of that new Fox series that is a miniseries that will premiere tomorrow night, and our good friend Lloyd Carroll from the Queen's Chronicle. That's all tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. And then Friday, we'll start our program a half hour earlier than normal. It's a half hour earlier than normal. It's 2:30 p.m. Eastern, 11:30 a.m. Pacific. 2:30 p.m. Eastern time, 11:30 a.m. Pacific. Joining us will be, reset from last Friday, the managing director of the broadcast consortium that's deploying next-gen TV all over the country, Pearl TV, and Shell. And you'll also meet a popular singer and actor. His name is Marques Houston. He is the co-star, and I believe he's also the writer, of the new Tubi original made-for-TV movie, Howard High. It's all coming up, 2:30 p.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. And now joining us live is the executive producer of the CBS annual special Super Bowl's Greatest Commercials, Robert Horowitz. Robert, welcome in.
Hey, thank you. Another exciting year. Should be a great Sunday. I'm just trying to look to see who's playing in the game. I know all the commercials.
Bengals, and how about those Rams yesterday?
Oh, it's the Bengals and the Rams? Oh, I thought everyone's worrying about the commercials. I'm just kidding. A Ram fan,
oh, yeah,
I am.
Commercials too, absolutely. And
So a Ram fan I am.
The commercials, the games, and vice versa. Robert, first of all, where are you calling us from? What city?
From Los Angeles. I was at the game yesterday. Yes.
Well, anyway.
Yes. No, so anyway, we're here in town because it's an unusual, I would say, second, kind of first and a half, because last year, you know, we always shoot our show inside the stadium where the Super Bowl takes place. And last year, we couldn't get to Tampa, you know, because of the pandemic. And so Danny Rua, one of our talent, was in SoFi Stadium, and Boomer Esiason was in our studio in New York. And obviously, the Tampa, the host of the Super Bowl, was in the Super Bowl. So here, as luck would have it, we have an L.A. Super Bowl with the Rams in it, and we will be hosting our show from inside SoFi Stadium. So we're pretty excited.
Mm-hmm. Why has this special become an annual tradition for CBS? What about the idea of showing the greatest commercials from past Super Bowls? What makes it such a favorite?
I think there is a nostalgia component. I think people, that these commercials, right? Because again, these commercials really only run in the Super Bowl. I know some brands run the spots after the game, but for the most part, they run just in the game. You think back to where you watched the Super Bowl, you know, the Super Bowl party you were at. It conjures up this kind of good, warm and fuzzy feeling, and it's I think the fact also that these commercials, albeit we show some of the great ones, not necessarily every single year for the past 20 years, but, you know, we show them often, but they're the only times that they're seen. So I think people, you know, in much the same way that that you watch a Peanuts, you know, Christmas movie at Christmas time that you've already seen before, but it becomes a tradition. I think in many ways, celebrating these commercials annually has become a tradition.
Mm-hmm. Given the fact that this is the 21st annual edition coming up next Tuesday on CBS, how do you keep it fresh? What do you do to try to not only keep the audience and grow the audience, but also to keep the format fresh?
That's a terrific question. And fresh means two things with respect to our show. Fresh is maintaining the integrity of the spots and those commercials that are the classics, right? So fresh doesn't mean different, right? That's what's really, you know, important. We don't want to just show you commercials that you're forgetting about because, you know, that you maybe forgot they ran in the Super Bowl. So fresh is how can we take these commercials that you enjoy watching and for the viewer maybe show them a different side. Well, one of the ways we do that is we started a couple years back to create anniversaries for the spots or to honor when there's an anniversary. So, you know, we choose an opportunity when the Apple 1984 spot turned 25. We did a piece there which showed the viewer, in a fresh way, the great story behind how that spot almost never ran, you know, because Apple was trying to get out of running it because the board didn't think that was a wise use of spending the money. So there was a really great story behind that. Cindy Crawford, she's coming up on her 30th anniversary of her classic Super Bowl commercial, Pepsi spot. So, you know, we did a feature on Cindy 5 years ago, and we are honoring her. So that's a fresh weight. So we're able to let you relive that. Is that a great Coke can or what? You know, with the two kids, with Cindy Crawford. And yet, so you get to see that spot again, but we give you a takeaway with some little anecdotal nuggets of knowledge that, you know, just makes you feel, you know, feel good there. I mean, this year, too, I guess fresh would be defined as two iconic Super Bowl celebrities that you know, grace the Super Bowl commercials with, I know, big success. Betty White, John Madden, unfortunately passed away, you know, over the past couple months. So we are acknowledging Betty. Her spot is obviously a classic, and we will acknowledge her contribution to Super Bowl commercials. And the same for John Madden with his classic Miller Lite commercial where he crashes through the paper. So, you know, that to me is the way to keep it relevant, keep it fresh, but at the same time not deviate from what the viewers really want to watch.
You have a question or a comment for Robert Horowitz. He's the executive producer of the annual CBS Super Bowl's Greatest Commercial Special, the latest edition, All-Time Classics, next Tuesday night, February 8th. That's 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time, originating from SoFi Stadium, the site of Super Bowl 56, which comes up the following Sunday. Give us a call, 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Robert, what makes a Super Bowl commercial classic? What is the benchmark or barometer that you and your producers use to give these commercials classic status?
I think it's both ends of the spectrum. I think let's put on one end, tug on the heartstrings, right? That would be the Mean Joe Green Coca-Cola Kid spot that still resonates from a spot that was done in 1980 all the way to today. And the other is Laugh Out Loud, you know, which are spots that are entertaining, funny, often hilarious. But I think all of them also, Simon, have something where take you on a journey for the 25, 26, 27 seconds and then have an exclamation point, some bitty boom at the end that, I don't know, just, you know, has you smile or laugh out loud. And if they're really lucky, it all becomes water cooler talk, you know, on Monday morning.
Mm. Are there any commercials that don't run on the Super Bowl in recent years that you wish did? For example, this year we had, this past fall, we had the Chevrolet commercial, the father and daughter, the father lost the mother, and the daughter decides, let's renovate this car with the help of friends in the community, and it's a really fantastic spot. And it sounds like that was one of these commercials you wish had run on the Super Bowl.
When you say you wish it would run the Super Bowl, look, I think you know what the price tag is to run the Super Bowl, right? So you have to respect the, you know, corporate America that it is not a cheap spend. And as a result, you have to be, I don't know, very, very selective. It's not even about the $6.5 million. It's about how much money you need to spend, you know, adjacent to that to make a big deal out of it, to go beyond just that, you know, February 13th, the Super Bowl. I don't know. I see commercials during the course of the year that are fun and entertaining, but there's, I wish they, I don't know, it's like seeing, it would be like seeing a great musical or a play that wasn't on Broadway. I'd rather see it on Broadway because that's the big stage, and So I'd rather see, you know, fun, creative in the Super Bowl. The user-generated commercials, you know, in many ways, Simon, are the most fun, entertaining to me because, you know, and those happen during the course of the, you know, those happen during the course of the year. And I like when a company carries that over into the Super Bowl because that just proves that you don't need a gazillion dollars to have the audience at home take notice to what you're pitching.
Hmm. When do you start working on these annual specials? How long in advance? And what, how long does it take to nail the format down? For example, this year it's going to be top 10 all-time classics. Audience votes interactively during the show. You reveal at the end. But you also are doing some behind the scenes on one of the commercials coming up this year. And you've also going to be doing Kevin Frazier from Entertainment Tonight is going to be sort of doing a preview of the new commercials coming on a week from Sunday.
Right. So, again, great question. I would say probably, well, when does it start? It kind of starts February 13th. It really does in terms of we're watching the Super Bowl to see, are there really any classics that are coming out here? You know, so call that the freshman class, the rookies. So we're focused on that day. We also were looking at the people meter to see which is the spot to win the $1 million, right? That, like which is the great Super Bowl spots from, in this instance, Super Bowl 56. And then we take note of those. And then I would say after the summer, we start to noodle, you know, what's the idea going to be for this year? That kind of ties a little bit to your fresh comment, which is there a take that we think that the viewers would enjoy that is another way to slice and dice the presentation of the commercials, but at the same time doesn't jump the shark of what people really want to see. And, you know, and at that once, that's the first thing we do. So we've done, you know, heartfelt versus funny this year. You know, we've done many, many different versions of showcasing these commercials and allowing fans to vote. This year we decided it would be classics. So once we decided it was classics, then we start curating the commercials. And so with Boomer and Danny, we have to come up with what those commercials are. We share those with CBS, and then Boomer and Danny pick, in essence, what are the top 10. There'll be another 20 spots that we showcase in the show of classic commercials, like, for example, the Budweiser spots that didn't make the top 10 countdown, but were every bit as worthy. And then what maybe the viewer at home doesn't know is that it's not as simple as, well, so now we can just run them, because first you have to ask the company, and so that's the whole clearance department of company, can we run your spot? And someone says, you know, like, I would think they'd always say yes. Well, campaigns can change. They may not have the right to do it. But let's just say 80, 90% of them are fine and want you to do it. Then we have to clear the talent. And that whole process of what's called clearance is a couple months. And, you know, from there, you know, we assemble and put the, you know, the show together. At the same time, we're also about a month out, because we can't really do it a lot before then. We're reaching out to the ad community, trying to hear, like, what are the big spots that are going into production, because we try to be on the set for a couple of them, one of which you'll see on Tuesday night, the 8th at 8, will be a great behind the scenes. Great, because I think we really show the viewer how a Super Bowl commercial is a multi-million dollar production like a movie, and it is a big spot with Selma Hayek and Arnold Schwarzenegger for BMW, where we were there behind the scenes, and we'll show the viewer, you know, how that commercial was made, besides also showing them that spot at the end of the show, which they will also see on Super Bowl Sunday. So there's a reason to watch.
Yeah, they're known for really good ads. I remember the ads they did for the internet with John Frankenheimer directing one of those BMW ads. They're really great. Two more questions for you, Robert. First of all, Boomer Esiason has become your go-to person to co-anchor these specials, and Boomer has an amazing schedule of his own. He does the Daily Radio Show, just to be a sports radio, which is carried here on WFAN in New York on weekday mornings. He's also got he used to do a show on MSG. Of course, he does the NFL Today. and so on and so forth. What's it like working with him on these specials?
One's amazed. I know him really well. We're friends, and so I see it professionally and personally, and he's like the ever-ready bunny. He's what makes him great is he's approachable and he's always positive and upbeat. And what's special about this, and it's not just he just does the show, as you know, on WFAN. Think of what time he gets up in the morning, every morning, to do that. What's really neat about this is that the last time the Bengals were in the Super Bowl, Boomer was the quarterback. So be able to have our host be that number seven, albeit they lost to the 49ers, it's going to be a nice little additional component to the show, and I'm sure Danny Rua, his co-host, will have some fun with it as well, probably because he didn't win.
And I should also point out, too, that on radio, Boomer also does NFL Preview, which is on Westwood One on weekends before the NFL regular season games. I'm sure he's going to be on the NFL Super Bowl telecast on Westwood One, which will be on WFAN here in New York and other stations around the country. He usually was paired with, for many years, he was paired with Kevin Harlan for the other, Marv Albert, on the Monday Night Football games on Westwood One.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I don't think about this often. But what is really great, it ties to what makes Boomer great, because you're talking about football analysis, is that he'll sit there with, like tomorrow when we're with him at SoFi Stadium, he'll sit there with the production team, and he'll be talking with the team about yesterday's game, as well as, the Super Bowl ahead of us. And he's so approachable that way, and he's able to say it in such a – to explain it in such a way where – people are really, really enjoying it. So there is a beauty with respect to, Boomer, the relatability in what people feel about Boomer, and at the same time also how he's able to share, and explain in layman's terms what, you're seeing on the screen on Sunday. So, we're lucky to have him, and the other thing where we're really lucky to have, and people watch the show to see, is in the television world, especially in a primetime special or primetime series, a lot of time goes into casting two co-hosts, chemistry. And in a show like this, it was 3-2-1, hit the ground running 6 years ago when Danny and Boomer started, became co-hosts of the show. And they do nothing else during the course of the year together, and they just get together every year, and it's amazing. People are blown away by it. So I'm excited. Then I know Danny's excited to be hosting with Boomer this year because she had to be at SoFi by herself last year. So, hope people enjoy the show. I have one question for you. Your favorite commercial of all time, Super Bowl? Do you have one?
I like the Mean Joe Green one. And I also like the 1984, the Apple commercial, the Macintosh.
Yeah, they say that was the one that launched the Super Bowl commercial era as we know it, today. And it's big business. So I hope people watch the show, enjoy the show, and again, you can vote live because we'll count down. Danny and Boomer have picked 10, but they only have their countdown down to 3, and then we'll open it up so people can vote live on CBS for the greatest Super Bowl classic commercial of all time.
Yeah. It's year 21 of Super Bowl greatest commercials, all-time classics, again co-hosted by Boomer Esiason and the co-star of NCIS Los Angeles, Daniela Ruja. And that all happens next Tuesday night, 8 p.m. East Pacific time, your local CBS station. So check your local listings where CBS is available in your area. And it's also streamed as well live on Paramount Plus, the mega content service available on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. More details about the program online, go to CBS.com or www.ParamountPlus.com. It's CBS.com or www.ParamountPlus.com. Robert Horowitz, the executive producer of the program. He also does a production company called Jim Entertainment that we didn't get to, and I hope we have you back to talk about it. Congratulations on 20-plus years of this great special, and hopefully more years to come.
All right, Simon, thank you very, very much. Enjoy the game and enjoy the commercials.
Will do. You too as well, Robert. Take care.
All right.
Have a great, great week ahead.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
Robert Horowitz, executive producer of Super Bowl, greatest commercial all-time classic, coming Tuesday, February 8th on CBS. We come back. We're going out to Ohio. We're going to speak with a chief executive of Creo TV Network, a network that is on the move this coming month. We'll talk to Gina Snodgrass after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. Protect the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, and tune.com, together reaching nearly 70 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Coming up tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific on BTR, it's Race Chat Live, and it's going to be previewing the whole auto racing season, NASCAR, IndyCar racing, and a whole lot more. Race Chat Live tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, best BTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to more of our big two-hour end-of-January edition of the program, All About TV's Current and Future. Tomorrow will be televised, coming away in vivo, live from New York. Simon, I'm with you along for the ride. 30 degrees at the top of the hour. Have a question or comment for our guests ahead? Give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. There are more and more programming services coming your way through smart TV sets and smart TV devices, and one that is about to make a big move this coming month is Creo TV Network. And joining us live to talk about Creo TV is its co-founder and chief executive, live from Maryville, Ohio, Gina Snodgrass. Gina, thanks for coming on.
Hey, Simon, thanks for having me.
It is a pleasure. For those who don't know, how long has Creo TV been around and what's the format?
All right, so Creo was just formed last July in 2021, and we started accepting submissions in August. So we're actually very, very new still. And we're available on Roku right now, and we're available at our website, of course, tvnetwork.com.
How do you describe this network? Is it a network for the family? Is it a network for just adults or just kids? What kind of programs do you look for?
So I would describe Creo as a new family-friendly network for indie content creators, and that's what we've really focused on as we've been acquiring content, is holding to a family-friendly format where if your five-year-old walks in while you're watching a show, it shouldn't be cringeworthy. So we're trying to stick with that as our program grows, our program roster grows.
And what's it been like for you to build up this network and to build trust with independent content makers so that they say, okay, if I'm going to make a show, whether it's a scripted or unscripted program, I'm going to do it for you as opposed to going somewhere else?
Sure. Well, that's one of the things that I would say it has made it take a little longer to develop who we're signing and who we're committing to, because we look at our content creators as partners. We have a partnership agreement, even is what our contract is entitled. So it's not just licensing, but we're partnering with these people and connecting with them on a level of supporting them in any way that we can and them supporting us in growing the network as well.
And again, if you have a question or comment for our guest this half hour, Gina Snodgrass from Creo TV, which is available on smart TV sets and smart devices, make that call, 646-652-2906. The number is good anywhere. You're catching us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, speaker, tune in radio, or you can use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Gina, this coming month, February, is shaping up to be a very big and maybe a turning point month for your network. My understanding is that you're going to try to launch as many as 50 new television series. How far are you toward making that goal?
Yes. So our goal was to hit 50 before March 31st within our first quarter. And right now, I think we've received about 130 submissions for different videos, films, or TV shows. So we're still accepting those submissions until March 15th, but we are previewing them and sifting through them with the Creo team.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the new series that are definitely going to be coming on your network this month?
Okay, well, the new ones that we have coming on, we have one called Foxing It Up with Foxrin, and she's actually a TikTok influencer who has is submitting. Her creativity comes from the VR chat world, which is kind of fun because you don't see a lot of that, you know, in mainstream TV. Gives people a glimpse into that. We also have a sitcom that is coming out of Florida that is called Wanna Be a Star, and the pilot is actually live on Creo TV right now, but they're in the production process for that first season, so that will be coming on soon.
Mm-hmm. Anything else in terms of scripted or unscripted that's catching your eye?
Yes, we also have one more that is a definite that's already coming on, and it's Realm to Realm. Pretty excited about that one. It'll be a fantasy series, and we're excited. We haven't shared anything about that actually yet, so we're looking forward to that one. And we have go ahead. I'm sorry. You sound like you're ready to ask something.
No. Go ahead. You were about to say something. I just was like, oh,
okay.
Taking a breath.
That's okay. So we do one of the other things that we love about one of our categories is we have an indie music tribe for indie musicians that have videos and things. We're hoping to create an opportunity and platform for indie content creators that just may not, you know, float to the surface when there's a sea of videos and things on YouTube and other places like that. So we're excited about making those opportunities. We have somebody that is out of Indiana that's wanting to work with us for creating a show for live musicians and indie artists. So we're looking at that coming up here in possibly airing in March.
Mm-hmm. Where are these creators coming from? Is it all sorts of places? Is it especially from a particular geographic region? Are they coming from social media, people who say, I want to go beyond TikTok, I want to be on short-form videos, I want to do original half-hour, hour shows? Are they coming from New York or Hollywood or other major production centers? Where are these creators springing up from?
Well, okay, so we have – I can list off some of the places. We have some from South Carolina, some from Florida, from Ohio, from New Jersey, Indiana, and Illinois. And I don't think – what we've done is we've made it available on our social media, and we've run advertising. And then just, you know, word of mouth as well, people networking that know other people of, hey, you guys might be a fit for Creo, and so somebody will – send us an email. So that really, that info at creotvnetwork.com, that email is kind of the quickest way for folks to get something sent over and then for us to process if we're a fit for them and go from there.
As somebody who is running a network mm-hmm. that is running and getting to people by smart TV sets and smart devices, which now over 85% of all U.S. households have. What does it say mm-hmm. to you that you've gotten already over 100 proposals or 100 possibilities for TV series or films in your corner? What does that say to you about what people think about what you're doing and you about what they're doing?
I would say for me it's been encouraging that we've chosen a good platform to jump to. You know, video on demand and streaming is where a lot of TV content is going to. Like you said, with the numbers, with how many millions of viewers, things being available, TV is definitely changing, I think. So I'm excited about what we're creating that opportunity for people to be able to grow with our network.
You're hearing Gina Snodgrass. She is the co-founder and chief executive officer of Creo TV. It's a programming service available now on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. And they've got a bunch of major new shows that are premiering in the coming month, February 2022. Gina joins us live this half hour from Maryville, Ohio, on Tomorrow Be Televised. Happy you're with us on this final day of January 2022. Can you believe it already? At 31 degrees right now this half hour from New York. Yes, we had 10 inches of snow in most parts of New York City. Other parts of the country, New England, got 2 feet or more. Everybody is digging out, thank goodness, and we're supposed to warm up the temperature to about 50 degrees plus by Thursday. Maybe some help with some rain to clear the snow away. If you have a question or comment for our guest, don't be shy. Use that phone, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. First of three episodes we're doing this week on the program. Coming up tomorrow, we will have the executive producer and showrunner of Fox's first new series of February. It's on tomorrow night. It's The Real Dirty Dancing, a miniseries where 8 celebrities are learning those moves that Baby and Johnny did in that classic film. And they're doing it near the area where the film was actually made. And yes, they're doing that lift too. And we'll have the executive producer and showrunner of the program, Dan Martin. The show premieres on your local Fox station tomorrow night, 9 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time. Also, from the Queens Chronicle, the very popular sports, TV, and lifestyle columnist. We've had him on the show before. He's always fun. Lloyd Carroll. We'll talk to him about the Super Bowl and how it may stack up on TV a week from Sunday, plus the Olympics, where that's going from Beijing and NBC Universal's situation, and much more in the area of television. So be with us for our show. That's tomorrow, special edition, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised, plus brand-new classic trivia question. And if you get it with the correct answer, you could win 5 great prizes. I'll tell you all about that on tomorrow's show. Gina, give us your story and how you came into the idea of running your own network.
Okay. Well, I have been in music. I've been performing in music with my husband for about 12 years now in the Ohio region. And I've also been a teacher, private music lessons for about 20 years. And I've actually just been looking at some other things that I wanted to get involved in, and I have wanted to cross over into more of a film entertainment. So when the opportunity came to invest in a Roku channel, my husband and I, we kind of jumped on it and decided we were going to go full force. So.
And when did Roku give you the opportunity to have your own channel?
I was back in July.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What do you think about the progress you've made so far? I mean, you have an incredible competition and environment out here where we're not only seeing these mega content services like Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, and the next generation, the Apple TV Pluses, the HBO Maxes, Paramount Plus, etc., but you also have all these new networks like yours, mm-hmm. that are getting on smart TV sets and smart devices and multi-channel bundles like Tubi and Zumo and Fubo, et cetera. What do you think of this whole right. environment where it just seems that we are seeing a TV democracy show up?
Yes, definitely challenging, but I think that, you know, there's a lot of promise and opportunity out there for us to build a network, just like anybody else that is setting out to do what we're doing even. I would say that Creo, how we're tackling our acquiring content and acquiring our network of people and building relationships, I would say, is what may set us apart and be a little different than just somebody who's signing. So we're building long-term relationships with our content creators and advertisers, and we're just working towards establishing something solid. We did have a month or two where different families from the Creo team were hit with COVID, so that kind of slowed us down a little bit, but we're all here and recovered and jumping back in. So
by the way, what does Creo stand for? Creo.
So that is the Latin word, and it means to create. So,
there you go.
And that's a part of our vision, is to encourage others to create. We, you know, some people that we're coming across are feeling that sense of competition, and I don't know how to get, you know, beyond where I'm at, and we're hoping to create those opportunities for them to grow and have a team of people that can help to, you know, to sharpen each other, to say, hey, this is great, but this would be even better if we improved the audio, or this would be better if it wasn't quite so long, so let's take a look at it. Those kind of things as a support to our content creators.
I want to get to the advertising side of things and how you're doing with that in a few moments. But first, staying with creators. You know that we are now in an environment where we're seeing many TV series creators make program development deals, multi-year deals with the likes of a Netflix or a Hulu or Warner Brothers or a Paramount Plus, or even an independent production company like Lionsgate or Boat Rocker Media. And when you talk about partnerships with independent contractors, are you developing program development deals where you want to have, let's say, a creator create more than one show over several years?
At this point, I would say that is on the horizon. It's not where we are right now. We're looking at our commitments are for a year. So we're more we're not in that position yet where we're years.
Mm-hmm. What about efforts to try to expand communities of color, whether it is African-American, Latino, Asian-American, Native American, et cetera, to try to develop a pool of independent creators from those communities to produce work for you on an ongoing basis?
Sure. We've actually already signed we've already signed some people of color, and that African-American community, we've accepted. If you go to our channel, you'll actually see we have a Diva Speaks Relationships out of South Carolina. We have some different indie music content creators that are in our indie music tribe that are African-American, and I believe we have some Latino as well. So we're, you know, we're equal opportunity, and we have already extended some of those opportunities to those communities.
Are there any plans to go to film or TV festivals to scope out talent, particularly as more of these festivals, and these film festivals, example, like the Mammoth Film Festival coming up next month, which we featured on this program earlier this month, to showcase TV pilots or to attend pitch sessions at places like Series Fest in Denver, or the SCAD Festival in Atlanta, or South by Southwest, or et cetera?
Yep. We actually are in the process of really getting someone to commit to be that role for us, for going and looking for some of those, through some of those festivals and what is available there. So.
Mm-hmm. On the advertiser side of things, how are you doing in terms of advertiser support? What kind of response are you getting from major or even newcomer advertisers? And is there maybe the possibility of them supplying content?
At this point, I don't have a lot to share. We have we have at least some on the horizon that are willing to commit to sponsoring some shows. But we're still in contract, like stages, I guess, would be the best.
I believe that. Go ahead, Dina.
Well, just that we are so new. As our network grows, it's, you know, obviously it takes time to prove that you're going to be around and that you can be a legitimate source for advertisers to actually air their commercials on. So as we grow with content and our network grows, as we grow with content, because each content creator also brings their network of viewers and who they're sharing with. So as that grows, I believe our ability to retain some larger advertising investors that will come along.
Mm-hmm.
We also have where some of our shows are acquiring their own sponsorships that are placed within their episodes before they are sent.
We've got the upfront advertising season coming up, and it looks like here in New York we're going to see events coming back from the major broadcast networks, cable networks, The Interactive Ad Bureau has the new fronts going on again for the 5 days, which will be happening there late April, early May, will be live in-person events. Are there any plans to maybe try to encourage IAB to give you a spot, give Creo TV a spot to pitch advertisers?
Well, we're hoping to have enough content to do that. So we've really been focused in on pulling in enough content to be viable to compete with some of these other networks.
Do you have, let's say, a one-year goal? Let's say by this summer, where do you want to be? By next summer, where do you want to be? Do you work along that kind of timetable, like in terms of that kind of structure about where you want to be as a venture?
Yes. We have committed we basically gave a resolve that we were going to be committed to the first 2 years of really acquiring content and setting up a business model that would work, and just see revisit it at the year point and see what things need changed or, you know, what we can do better. So I believe we're already, you know, as far as acquiring content, we're already going to be meeting some of those goals ahead of time. And we set the bar high when we said we were going to shoot for 50 by the end of March in our first quarter. So, really we have yet to see all of those come to fruition and truly be signed. So we're excited though, because we have a whole lot that we're reviewing right now.
What's been the biggest excitement or the biggest surprise for you as someone who is still fairly new in the business of running a television service?
I think the biggest surprise is how many new contacts and relationships that we're building. I'm a people person and I enjoy connecting with people, and it's been nice to connect with people from all over the country and hear kind of where they are as content creators. And we just had somebody reach out to us from Atlanta, Georgia, that actually is in the beginning stages of forming their network, and we may be partnering with them. So it's been really probably one of the most positive things out of all of it is the new connections and getting to meet new people.
Mm. By the way, are you hearing from the multi-channel bundle community people, whether it's like Tubi, Fubo, Pluto TV, as well as some of the unique bundle service like Cinedigm, Future Day, which we had on the program, by the way, last Friday. They just put together Brat TV, the popular YouTube attraction, which has gotten 1.6 mm-hmm. billion views over 5 years. That's now a 24/7 channel. Have you started with contact with those bundle services in terms of trying to get on their bundles?
We actually have begun that. So there's so many things that I can't just throw out today because things are not completed. So we have a lot of things in process at Creo. So, yes, that is something we're looking at.
Before you go, what have you personally learned about being part of television and giving perhaps some of the next generation of content creators, series makers, their national shot?
I think that what I've been learning is that everyone comes from a different place. A lot of people come from different places and different, different levels of where they are in that journey of creating. And we're just excited to get the chance to partner with those people and help them and encourage them in any way that we can.
The name of the network is Creo TV. It is now running on Roku, other smart TV sets and smart devices. And if it isn't on one or a multi-channel bundle you take, it may be on one very, very soon. Again, a new batch of series are going to start running on the Channel Plus movies and other specials and so forth in the coming months. For more details about the service online, here's where you go. Creo, that's CreoTVNetwork.com. That's Creo TV Network. That's all one phrase, CreoTVNetwork.com. Creo TV running 24/7 on Roku and other smart TV sets. and smart TV devices. Gina Snodgrass, the chief executive and the co-founder of the service, thank you again for joining us from by the way, where is Maryville, Ohio? How close is that to Cincinnati or Cleveland and so forth?
It's about 20 minutes northwest of Columbus, so kind of in the middle.
Did you have a chance to see him yesterday, by the way?
I'm sorry, I missed that.
Did you or people you know in your area had a chance to see the game yesterday, Cincinnati, Kansas City, and Cincinnati winning it?
Yep, I'm sure there were a whole lot of Bengals fans really happy.
Mm-hmm. For sure. They played a whale of a game along with the Los Angeles Rams. It's going to be some Super Bowl a week and a half plus. A week from Sunday at SoFi Stadium in L.A. Gina, thank you again for joining us. Congratulations on your early success so far with your network, and hopefully much, much more to come. And hopefully you'll be part of Digital Content New Fronts or the Upfront New Fronts scene here in New York. If that's the case, we'd love to meet you in person down the road and your creators down the road.
Thank you, Simon. We'd love that. Thank you for having us.
You're very, very welcome, Gina. Take care. Enjoy the week.
Mm-hmm, you too. Bye-bye.
Gina Snodgrass, the co-founder and chief executive of Frio TV, joining us live from Maryville, Ohio. More tomorrow be televised coming your way, but first some words from the fine folks and our sponsor, Audible.com. If you're a classic story buff and a mystery buff, there's nothing like The Cases of Sherlock Holmes by the great author Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. And certainly, if you love listening to the Sherlock Holmes and his partner Dr. Watson solving all those mysteries, well, the great actor Stephen Fry now has an audiobook of Sherlock Holmes' tales, and he narrates it all for you. And you can get that audiobook right now with a trial subscription to Audible.com. Remember, Audible.com is by far the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, and inspiration. With over 200,000 titles to choose from. You listen to them on any device, whatever you're hearing us on right now at Blog Talk Radio, SpeakerTune Radio, and our various podcast places. Just sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. It's audibletrial.com/televised. You get one free audiobook, 1 month to try on the service, great customer service of Audible's parent, Amazon.com, and health and wellness information can make a big difference for you or someone else while the supply of that information lasts. And if you're an Amazon Prime customer, great news for you, two audiobooks for your trial. One of them could be from the growing catalog of Audible Originals. We're talking original audio productions and podcast series, best of Broadway or Broadway regional theater, great one woman and one man shows, and all for you. So how about making the day you decide how Audible.com can transform the way you hear the world? Makes a great gift for you or someone you love any time of the year. For all details, go to audibletrial.com/televised. You're listening to Marvy Televised, the program all about TV's current and future. Two-hour edition coming your way, and we're just wrapping up hour number one. Big second hour coming your way shortly after the top of the hour. Tom and I'm with you live from New York. And if you have a question or comment for upcoming guests, you know what to do. Make the call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. And one more time, I want to give you the answer to our classic trivia question. Didn't get a winner over the last 2 weeks. The question was, name the Cartoon Network TBS animated series that was co-created by Cartoon Network and TBS founder Ted Turner. The answer is Captain Planet and the Planeteers. Remember that with the famous closing slogan, "The power is yours." Show ran on both Cartoon Network and TBS from 1990-1992, then a new adventure edition ran from 1993-96. Overall, 113 episodes were produced. We would have taken Captain Planet, by the way, as the answer also. We will have a new classic trivia question for you on our special tomorrow afternoon, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific. And if you get the question correctly, and first, you win 5 great prizes. Plus, if you don't get a winner by the end of tomorrow, we will post the question Wednesday morning on Facebook and on Twitter. Stay tuned. We have a dynamite second hour for you. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we'll have the dynamic duo behind Sci-Fi's new hit series, and that is Astrid and Lily Save the World, executive producer and writers Noelle Stettman and Betsy Van Stone. But first, A&E Tonight has a very unique and perhaps disturbing series for you to see. It's called Adults Adopting Adults. The executive producer, Danny Passman, joins me live from Los Angeles after we pause at the top of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, and tune.com, together reaching nearly 70 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Tonight you can catch one of BTR's best entertainment shows, the long-running Key of the Unplugged show. It's tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, the Key of the Unplugged show, right here exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, that's BTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the second hour of Tomorrow Be Televised on this last day of January 2022. And welcome to those who are just joining us at the top of the hour. Thought I'm with you along for the ride. 31 degrees at the top of the hour here in NYC. We ended up having 9, 10 inches of snow here in the New York City area proper, and we're getting it all cleaned up too. And we invite you to stay tuned because we have a great hour in store for you. Three wonderful guests, and if you have a question or comment for them, what you got to do is get that phone ringing, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, TuneIn, Speaker. If you're shy about the phone, use the chat room. It's SimonApple04 by name. You'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Remember, you can connect us by using Facebook Timeline. From the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk Radio speaker to the screen. Follow the instructions. Other people can live with you. If I suggested to you that there is a growing group of people, a growing group of adults that are adopting other adults, you might think, this guy's got to be crazy to think of this idea. Well, guess what? It is a fast-growing trend in this nation. And tonight, A&E will peel the curtain off this trend in a series called Adults Adopting Adults. It comes your way at 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time. And joining us live to talk about it, an interview exclusive, the executive producer, joining us live from Los Angeles, Danny Hashman. Danny, welcome.
Hi, thank you so much.
How big is this trend of adults adopting adults?
It's definitely a growing trend. It's hard to quantify as we've been trying to figure out all the stats around it, but it's definitely a growing trend. And I actually think, especially during the pandemic, as people have been alone and sort of questioning their family units, we found casting sort of really picked up during the pandemic, which was definitely really helpful.
Mm-hmm. The press release that invited me to have you on says that what you're going to showcase is incredible. What would you say if some people suggested that this whole idea is also disturbing?
I'm not sure why it'd be disturbing. I think ultimately these are real stories of people who are looking to find their forever families and may have, you know, just because you were birthed by someone doesn't mean that those are your parents. So I don't think there's anything disturbing about it. There's a lot of comedy to it. There's a lot of drama to it. There's a lot of naysayers that come out of the woodwork to try to poke holes in all these stories. But I don't know. That's an interesting question.
Is that one of the ideas behind the series, is to try to sort of illuminate what exactly is this, and as well as poke holes about what people might think of it upon first impression?
Totally. I think there's a lot, you know, the show, because it's A&E, which is, you know, most of their shows have a legal bent, we sort of approached the show from a legal standpoint and sort of explored the legal ramifications of adult adoption and then how adoption affects like will and estates and so in all of these episodes, there's people on the outside who are sort of the voice of the audience questioning like, what is this person's motive? Like, are they trying to get into your will? Are they trying to get a house bequeathed to you when you pass away? So there's a lot of people who are sort of trying to poke holes. But, you know, ultimately at the end of the season, you will see some adoptions go through. And that's sort of the fun of the series, is that some of the stories that you think, oh my God, they're getting so close to the adult adoption hearing, the court date, then all of a sudden they don't go to court. So it is like it's honestly a truly wild ride.
How did this project come your way?
It was pitched to me by a producer. Like she sent me a couple of little bullet points with some Reddit threads of like, oh, this seems interesting. And me and my team, I think we spent like a year and a half just casting and developing and talking to so many people. So it really came from a germ of an idea. And I had no idea this even existed. And now I feel like I'm probably the most well-versed person in adult adoption in the country. But it's fascinating. It's just, you know, it's the other thing too is we found a lot of people who wanted to be adopted or wanted to adopt. And I think for the series, we really wanted to focus on people who already had that connection. So we didn't want to cast anything that felt fake because, you know, A&E doesn't do reality shows. It's like an unscripted docuseries. So we wanted to follow real stories of real people who know, who have connected and follow their journey. So, yeah, it's been wild.
How easy or tough was it to find these particular cases? What were you looking for?
We were looking for people who, you know, who had an organic connection, who met. A lot of these people meet online. There's a few different sort of online forums where people sort of connect. And I think we were looking for people who just were not the typical foster, not foster, the typical stepchild relationship, like not someone who'd known the person for many, many years and now they just want to make something official. So sort of looking for people who sort of come into this adult adoption world in the past, you know, recent past couple of years. Yeah, and also people who had naysayers. I think, and I think one thing about this cast is they're so unfiltered. You know, they share so much to the audience. And, you know, so it was an interesting process. We spoke to so many people throughout this process, and some people dropped out and, I don't know, but like, for example, Prince Frederick von Anhalt, who's the German prince, who's one of our six subjects, he's like the OG of adult adoption. He had adult adopted five sons with Zsa Zsa Gabor in like the 80s and 90s. And so like we kind of reached out to him on a lark to learn about adult adoption. And he was like, but I'm trying to adult adopt someone and I'm looking actively. And we were like, really? And so like just randomly, we loved him and his story, and then he sort of just became part of the cast. So he was the only person who was in the cast that didn't have someone that he was connected to at the beginning. But his story gets so wild, and he's such a fascinating person. And, you know, he was adult adopted himself into German royalty. It's just, it is a bonkers story.
The series is called Adults Adopting Adults. It premieres on A&E Network tonight at 10 p.m. East Pacific Time, and we've got an interview exclusive going on live from Los Angeles with executive producer Danny Passman. And if you have a question or comment for Danny, ring it in, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Great to have you with us. Joining us is hour number two of a special end of January edition of Tomorrow Be Televised. I'm up with you live from New York, 31 degrees at the top of the hour. Again, give us a call or use the chat room. Sooner you do, sooner you interact with our guests. First of three episodes we are doing this week. Coming your way tomorrow again at the same time, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker Tune Radio. And joining us then will be from Fox's new series, The Real Dirty Dancing, that premieres tomorrow night. Same day exclusive interview with executive producer and showrunner Dan Martin. And then we'll talk Super Bowl television, Olympics television, and more with one of the top sports, TV, lifestyle columnists in the country from the Queen's Chronicle, our good friend Lloyd Carroll. That's all coming up Tuesday, tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, here on Tomorrow We Be Televised. Were you surprised at how willing these individual subjects were to document what they're up to before your cameras?
Honestly, yes. Like, when we did our casting reels, everybody really told us so much information and just wanted to talk. And like, and sometimes, you know, when you put a camera on someone, you know, all of those casting tapes were done by a Zoom. You know, I was worried that these people would clam up when the cameras were there, but I am just shocked by what our field producers got from these people and how unfiltered they are. And they're all doing diary cams throughout. And so the series has a lot of sort of like very personal diary cam footage where people are just really exposing themselves in very unique ways. And I was shocked, but also, you know, from a producer standpoint, I was like, yes, please, please be unfiltered.
Explain, by the way, Danny, how a diary cam works for people who are not familiar with this type of camera.
Yeah. So we give all the subjects cameras, and basically throughout the process, you know, we talk to the talent all day long. So if they're like, if one of our camera crews isn't in, you know, for example, we have a story in a little town in Ohio, and we can't embed ourselves in Ohio over the course of 10 months. So, you know, we fly in and out as stories are happening in their lives, but sometimes something crazy will happen and we don't happen to have a camera crew there. So they will sort of document on their own. And it's really raw. Like, some of the footage is just fascinating to watch. Like, I don't know. I was watching, we're locking some of the later episodes now, and I was watching a cut today, and I just, like, my heart was like, it was like racing watching Kim sort of talk about what's going to happen in the story with her adopted mom. And it was just fascinating. And all six stories are completely different. So you're going to, you know, you get a total mix of different types of storytelling. So that's cool.
Danny, beyond the diary cam, how else do you illustrate the in each of these stories, and how long are these stories, how long do you follow these subjects for?
We followed these subjects, I think, for around 6 months. The adult adoption process is interesting because once you file a petition to the court, it takes a few months to go through. To eventually have to go to the court hearing. In different states, there's different steps. So in the state of New York, you have to have like a home visit. So people come to your house to see, you know, what is it like with this adult and the parents, and, you know, and to sort of check out the situation. You know, I was fortunate enough to be in the courthouse during some of the adult adoptions, and they're really questioning a lot of information. The judge is really wanting to find out what's the motivation, what's the reasoning for these adult adoptions. So, you know, it's a process where it's a real legal process. So the law, the legal aspects too, sort of dictate the storytelling. So,
what are the stories that you follow really caught my eye in the press release announcing your series? It's about a woman who wants to leave her mom behind and wants to be adopted by another couple that she finds online. And it's interesting for two reasons. One is the situation itself, and the other is the possibility that this couple that she finds online might be scam artists. Dr. Phil, for example, over the years has done a number of episodes which deal with women who find love of their lives and things like that online that turn out to be scammers from Nigeria or the parts of Africa or the parts of Europe that basically want to drain these women or men from their finances so that they spend hundreds of thousands of dollars ultimately and almost become bankrupt because of this. I'm curious if in that particular story, whether the whole idea of scamming was in play.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely wanted to explore, like, why would Kim was adopted when she was a child by a woman that lives in Arizona now. And she lives in Vegas, and, you know, she went on to a support group and found Vicky and Joe, who were also looking. It was a surrogate grandmother support group on Facebook, and they basically all connected, and then Vicky wanted to adult adopt Kim. And so we definitely, throughout the episode, you will kind of see their motivations and what drives them, why Vicky and Joe want to adult adopt Kim and why Kim wants to get adult adopted. And it's definitely an interesting story with so many twists and turns. And especially, you know, Kim has to sort of speak to her first adopted mom and sort of extricate herself from that situation, which gets crazy. You know, I definitely think a lot of, you know, Vicky and Kim are from very different socioeconomic backgrounds. So we definitely explore the idea of scamming and the idea of conning. That happens in a bunch of these stories where you're sort of wondering, like, are you in this? Like, if you watch like 90 Day Fiancé, it's like, are you in this for the love or for the green card? And this is, you know, this has a lot of those same elements too, where you're like, is this for love or is this for money or is this for, you know, you want parents. So, yeah, I mean, that, there's definitely an aspect of us exploring scamming in this story. This story is so, just so amazing. And I don't know, I've actually like learned to love Kim and Vicky very much.
Yeah. In some of the stories, it sounds like the issue at hand is not about trying to establish a relationship or break a relationship apart and start a new one, but it's about who has the inheritance, who has the will, something like that. Which of the stories has that kind of situation played? The right of somebody to have their inheritance or to, if they don't have it now, to get it through this adoption process?
I would say all of them have a money aspect to them. You know, even if you adults adopt someone, that doesn't necessarily mean they're in your will. So, like, in the state of Tennessee, where Nebo's story takes place, you know, you have to be written into the will separately. So it's not always a given that if you adults adopt someone, you all of a sudden get money if they pass. But all of these stories deal with a financial aspect of the adult adoption process. And sort of what happens, like, you know, we also deal with the very simple things. Like, all of a sudden, if you have a new dad, like, we follow people as they call this person dad for the first time. It's like all the firsts that you get in a relationship, you're seeing all this play out on camera. You know, like, the first time that, you know, you're sleeping over your parents' house, and yet you're in your 40s and they're in their 60s. Like, you're seeing a lot of things that you're sort of like, it's people sort of living out the childhood they've always wanted, but as adults. And it's like it is an interesting, yes, but every one of these stories has a money aspect to it.
Kenny Passman joins us live this half hour from Los Angeles on Tomorrow Be Televised. Tom and Abbon with you from the other side of the USA in New York at this very half hour. And what we're talking about is the program that Danny is an executive producer on. It's called Adults Adopting Adults, premieres tonight on A&E, 10 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time. If you have a question or comment or many minutes with Danny Passman, make a call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Coming up Friday on Tomorrow Be Televised, remember, we'll be coming your way a half hour earlier than normal. 2:30 Eastern, that's 11:30 a.m. Pacific, 2:30 p.m. Eastern, 11:30 a.m. Pacific. Joining us will be, reset from last Friday, the managing director of the Broadcast Consortium, one of several deploying next-gen television service around the country, that's Pearl TV, and the managing director is Ann Schell. I think we'll be very interested to hear what's going on with next-gen TV, now almost a year since it started deployments around the country. And we'll also have the co-star and writer of the new Tubi made-for-TV movie, Howard High, actor and singer Marques Houston. That's all coming up, again, 1.5 hour earlier than usual on Friday, 2:30 p.m. Eastern, 30 a.m. Pacific, here exclusively on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Also involved, Danny, in this project is someone that a lot of folks in New York know, Nancy Glass. She came out of local television. She's also the former anchor person of the long-running syndicated news magazine, Inside Edition, spinoff American Journal. She has her own production company. I've had it for a long time. What's it been like working with her and her team, with you and your team, on putting this series together?
It's funny. Like, I remember Nancy from when she was a host of Attitude on Lifetime as a young little gay man. I always had a thing for Nancy Glass. And, you know, I have a company called Crybaby Media, and Nancy has a company, Glass Entertainment Group, and we're one of the companies that are part of her group. So we've been working with her for 3 years, and she's just a fascinating, amazing, creative, wonderful person, and just gave me and my team so much creative leeway to sort of create this weird show. And she was so helpful, so wonderful. I really, you know, I really think she's like one of the nicest people I've ever met in my whole life. So I'm very fortunate to work with her and just her creative insights. You know, she knows so much about storytelling, and she definitely, this show has a lot of her DNA in it, which is great.
Mm-hmm. How are the episodes structured? Is it one subject for an entire hour, or do you do, let's say, two or three, or how many, and you do it like in sort of in a story arc format? Where, let's say, a situation will run over three or four or so many episodes.
It's similar to 90 Day Fiancé, where it's right now there's 10 episodes, there's 6 stories, and I would say some of these stories take up multiple episodes. So in one episode, we'll do 4 stories an episode. So, you know, the Danny and Christy story, which is, you know, that one takes up, I believe, all 10 episodes. So that's, it's called a pod day show. So at all times, there's 4 stories happening. So some stories you see in one episode, and then a couple episodes later, it comes back again, a couple episodes. So, but for the most part, it sort of interweaves storytelling. The one thing I was going to say earlier, I totally forgot, is you can't get out of an adult adoption. It's legally binding. So it's not like a divorce where, you know, a 90-day fiancé, you can just get divorced. Like, once you're adult adopted, you actually get a new birth certificate. So it's like, it is a ironclad thing that people have to take pretty seriously. So while the show is funny and dramatic, there's a realness to it in that this is a real thing, that a real decision people are making. And it's not like the show is by no means meant to be flippant or trite. Like there's a lot of weight to this experience on everybody.
Mm-hmm. What has been the process? How has the process been for adoption agencies when these subjects have to deal with the process? Do they go to an overall adoption agency that handles both children and adult cases, or do they go specific? Are there specific agencies that just handle adult cases? What is the process itself like? What is the agency outreach like?
It's not really an agency per se. It's more dealing with family attorneys who specialize in adoption. So, you know, all of our subjects have lawyers. And thankfully most of them have allowed us to have them on camera. But you know, basically the lawyer is sort of the person who's guiding. It's almost like the Greek chorus to a lot of these cast members who may or may not know all the ramifications of all this. So it's not an agency. It's just a lawyer that sort of guides them. And then the lawyer shows up to court and presents the case to the judge. And, you know, there's tons of family lawyers who specialize in adoption. And I think adult adoption is sort of a growing trend. So, you know, there's that.
Yeah. What was it like dealing with the lawyers? What do they think about what you're doing? I'm curious, was there a subject you wanted to have on that either the subject or the lawyer said, get out of my face, I don't want to be on, I don't want my story showcased before a national audience?
No, they're all really helpful. I have to say, though, that there was a few stories in particular where our cast members went into the situation thinking one thing and getting super, super excited. And then when they went to the lawyer's office with the person they wanted to adopt or vice versa, the legal nature of the legal ramifications changed the whole trajectory of everything they were planning on doing. So, you know, like you think, oh, this is so easy, I just file a paper. But in certain states, like in the state of Ohio, for example, you have to be you can't get adults adopted unless you're the guardian of the person when they were kids. And so in some cases, you have to go set up separate residence. So in some of the stories that we were looking at, people like moved to other states, like Oklahoma allows adult adoption. So someone had set up a house in Oklahoma for 6 months, so then they can adult adopt through Oklahoma. Like there's only 38 states that allow adult adoption. So all the legal stuff is to me just fascinating because it's like throwing wrenches at every story. And so, you know, between naysayers, legal stuff, and then, you know, just that waiting period, like the 30 to 90 days of waiting for your court appearance, like everything gets so heightened. And it is a fascinating thing to watch.
Have you gotten a lot of social media feedback about it prior to tonight's premiere?
Yeah, and I have to be honest, it's all not positive. Like, it's all like, this is crazy, oh my God, or like, I want to get adults adopted. But like, I guess I don't know, I'm 46 years old. I'm not a kid, so I don't really go on social media that much. But I'm assuming that if people are tweeting about it or they must be intrigued. So I'm excited. I think, you know, A&E Press did such a great job of promoting the show and getting it out there. And, you know, I've known all these A&E people for so many years. We've all worked together at other networks together. It's just, you know, the TV community is so small, and they've been so helpful, and they're promoting it so hard. So, you know, I hope people connect with it. I hope that, you know, they give it a chance. I really think, I just think it's such a good show. You know, it's a very weird show, and I hope people stick around. It's really fun.
The program is Adults Adopting Adults, and it premieres tonight, January 31st, 10 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on A&E. Check your locals where A&E is available on your place by cable or satellite. And for more details about the program online, go to aetv.com. By the way, the episodes will run on that site after they run first on A&E Network. So it's aetv.com. You can also check it out on the A&E app, where it will be streamed as well. Again, it's Adults Adopting Adults. Premieres tonight, 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time. Danny Passman, the executive producer of the program, through his own production company, associated with Glass Entertainment Group. Thank you again for joining us. Good luck with the series. Hopefully the beginning of a long-running one, and hopefully one that really straightens people out on what exactly this process is, and maybe, just maybe, makes the process more understandable, and maybe we change some lives for the better in this.
I hope so.
Dan, it's been a pleasure. Thanks so much. All the very best with the series starting tonight, and have a great week, too.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Take care. Danny Passman, executive producer of Adults Adopting Adults, premieres tonight, 10 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on A&E. If you were watching the AFC Championship game on CBS yesterday, which I thought was well called by Jim Nance and Tony Romo, you may have noticed two things. One, we talked about earlier, and that was the Halo trailer that premiered during halftime. But you might have also seen one, two, or three very unusual promotional spots for upcoming CBS series. It had the theme of get into something good. Here's what it's all about. Normally, when you see promotions for upcoming CBS shows or current CBS shows, you see clips from the program, whether it's Survivor or the FBI series from Dick Wolf or Blue Bloods or Ghosts or Be Positive, whatever. In this case, these get into something good spots featured real fans, or at least people depicting real fans of individual shows. The spots were narrated by someone involved with those shows. For example, there was one about FBI, which had Jeremy Sisto, the star of that Dick Wolf series. It's on Tuesday nights. He narrated. Jeff Probst, Ghost of Survivor, narrated a spot for that. And one of the co-stars of Ghosts, which has become a very popular comedy series on CBS and all broadcast television this season, one of the rookie shows, narrating that spot. What's interesting is that it focuses on the fans. There's no clips, not one clip from a series that's being showcased. And I thought it was a very interesting approach. Very few people have done this kind of thing. And CBS is hoping that the spots will give a different kind of attitude on what people think about a show and encourage them to watch. Whatever you think about these spots, I want to give credit to CBS and their marketing department, promotion department, for making it happen. Again, the campaign is called Get Into Something Good. And I think CBS.com has the spots, or you might be able to find them on YouTube as well. They're very, very interesting. They're very catchy. In some cases, they're funny. In some cases, they are really absurd. But you got to give CBS a lot of credit for giving them a try. And again, the campaign is called Get Into Something Good, and I'm sure you will see more in the upcoming days all throughout CBS's schedule. And for more details, CBS.com. Coming up in our next half hour, our final half hour, well, it was a year ago that Sci-Fi broke a sleeper show of the year called Resident Alien. We have the developer of the show, Chris Sheridan, on the program. And last week, it not only starred its second season on the air, but it also led into another new series that is already getting raves as one of the sleeper shows of this year. It's called Astrid and Lily Save the World. You are about to hear the people who made it possible, executive producers and writers, and they are Noel Stefman and Betsy Van Stone. They will join us live from Los Angeles after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, and tune.com, together reaching nearly 70 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Remember, BTR is your home for Sisters United, a fun show for you every Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. Sisters United, enjoy here on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, best BTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to our final half hour of Tomorrow Be Televised for this final day of January 2022. Where has the time gone already? So is New Year's. Anyway, Simon Applebaum with you live from New York, 31 degrees at the bottom of the hour. If you have a question or comment for our final pair of guests, make a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. As mentioned before the break, it was about a year ago that Sci-Fi premiered a very unusual series based on a popular graphic novel comic series called Resident Alien. We had the opportunity to hear from the developer and executive producer, Chris Sheridan. And lo and behold, it turned out to be one of the sleeper shows in all of television last year. Last Wednesday, the show came back. Not only that, it was the lead-in for another new show that very well could be one of the sleeper shows for this year. And it's already getting that kind of critical and audience attention. It's called Astrid and Lily Save the World. It's on Sci-Fi with episode number 2 this Wednesday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time. The opening episode was also simulcast on USA Network. Joining us live from Los Angeles in another Internet Radio exclusive, the executive producers and writers of the series, Nicole Steadman and Betsy Van Stone. Nicole and Betsy, happy to have you aboard.
Hi, thanks for having us. We're super happy to be here.
First of all, Noelle, what's been the reaction in nearly a week since the show premiered?
Well, the reaction's been really wonderful. It's really nice to see the show embraced so wholeheartedly by so many people who have just said that they've wanted to see a show like this on air. They've wanted to see a Buffy-type show return. They've wanted to see a show with a better representation of what, you know, people look like in the world. And we're getting really positive feedback on that. And we're so happy, obviously, to get that feedback.
Mm-hmm. And Betsy, what's it like to have the kind of feedback that suggests that, like Resident Alien last year, you could be, your show could be, one of the sleepers this year in all of television?
I mean, honestly, it's mind-blowing. You know, we just were so happy to make the show, period, like, let alone have people embrace it. I mean, it's crazy to think that, you know, we're getting – already incredible press and reviews, and if we could be some big sleeper hit, like, that's nuts, and we'll happily take it.
Mm-hmm. Noelle, how did you and Betsy come together to make this show in the first place?
Well, I mean, how we came together initially, we actually met back at VH1 in New York City about 15 years ago, and we've been working together since then. This particular show, we started our journey on about 2 to 3 years ago when we first wrote a different version of the pilot that was more of a teen dark comedy murder mystery. And then we hooked up with the wonderful, wonderful producer, Josh Van Hout, who used Sci-Fi, and he really liked the script and asked us if we could science fiction / horror it up a little bit. And so we basically came... We stepped away for a minute, and we both love science fiction and horror, and we also think they are really great companions with dark comedy, which is often one of our main tones that we do. So, yeah, we stepped away and came back with a Monster of the Week type angle, and that's sort of how we kind of started this journey.
Yeah. And Betsy, given the fact it's about two high schoolers who crack open a portal and they figure, okay, time to get into the monster hunting business to save the world. Was there anything about either your high school experience or Noelle's high school experience that served as, let's say, a starting point to build the show around?
Well, I mean, 100,000,000%. You know, I was in choir. I often felt like an outcast. I, you know, didn't have a little size zero body. Yeah, I totally identify with these girls. I wish I had this show when I was in high school. You know, I will also just say, though, that, you know, in doing the show, every single person we've worked with or come in contact with has said the same thing, which is that they also identify with the show, because it doesn't matter if you were an outcast or a jock or, you know, the most popular kid back then. Fact is, at some point, everyone in high school feels like an outsider. And so, you know, that's what we hope the big takeaway is, that, you know, everyone can identify with some part of the show.
Mm-hmm. Noelle, what about you?
Oh, yeah. Same as Betsy said. I was, you know, definitely in lots of fringe groups in high school. And also, I came from a really small town in Pennsylvania called Mechanicsburg, one of the tiny suburbs of Harrisburg. And there wasn't a whole lot to do there, so we sort of had to invent our own fun. And my close friends and I, once we got our licenses, would literally drive around to see what the other kids were up to, see what the cool kids were doing. And we didn't have the binoculars or open a portal, but we definitely, that was a little bit of inspiration for the patrolling that the girls do in the show.
Oh, yeah. I mean, same with my general high school social circle. I think everyone in high school, we did drive around and we met in like the grocery store parking lot, and or we'd go find a party in the woods because there wasn't anything else to do. And, you know, yeah, so much of it was like seeing what everyone else was doing and looking out, you know, or looking in from the outside. And, yeah, we definitely brought that element in for sure.
When you see the performances, Betsy, of your two co-stars, that's Jenna Marsden, who plays Astrid, and Samantha O'Coin, who plays Lily, the two things you get off the bat is that these are plain, I use the term lightly, plain people who are sort of classically forced into a situation they didn't want, but yet it also brings out their courage and it brings out their boldness, if you will. As said in the press release, the badass heroes they were meant to be. How long did it take for both of you to come up with exactly how you wanted these characters to be across with viewers?
To be what with viewers? I'm sorry, I missed that last part.
To relate to viewers, to be the hero, the heroic yet plain people that you wanted the viewers to identify with.
I mean, you know, I think because they aren't these, like, you know, traditionally, like, supermodel stars, even though I think they're both supermodels in their own right, but they don't look traditionally, you know, their bodies are normal-sized bodies. They, because of that, I think people were naturally going to identify with them because it is nice to see representation on screen that's different from what we're so used to. I mean, when we met Sam and Jana on Zoom during auditions, it was very clear to us that they were the right actors for the part. And they were so relatable to us, and just, I mean, their chemistry with each other was just insane that it just seemed obvious that, like, oh, okay, I think the rest of the world is going to get this, too.
Mm-hmm. The program is Astrid and Lily Save the World. It premiered on Sci-Fi to great reviews and great audience reaction. Check out Rotten Tomatoes. You'll see what I mean. And we've got the two people who put the show together. They're executive producers and major writers, Noelle Stedman and Betsy Van Stone. They're both with us live from Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised, an Internet Radio exclusive. And you can be part of the exclusive by giving us a call and interact with our guests. All you got to do is dial 646-652-2906 or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Coming up tomorrow on Tomorrow Be Televised, we have a special hour-long edition for you. On the first half hour, we'll have live with us the executive producer and showrunner of Fox's new series, The Real Dirty Dancing, that premieres tomorrow night, Dan Martin. Plus, our very good friend, the popular columnist, The Queen's Chronicle, that covers sports, television, and a lot of other things under the sun, our good friend Lloyd Carroll. We'll talk Super Bowl, Olympics, all sorts of other TV topics, too. It's all coming up tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here exclusively on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Noelle, talk about how, was it very easy for the main idea of the show to come together, or did you and Betsy have to take a phenomenal amount of time to, like, mold the concept, mold the monsters, mold how you wanted things to go?
Well, I do want to say this one kind of came together fairly, not quote-unquote easily, but in terms of projects for us, it did, because I think we do have such a passion for telling these stories featuring dynamic female leads that you don't normally see, and we also have a passion for monsters, and so it really was kind of a natural sweet spot for us. And in terms of the monsters themselves, we wanted each of them to be quirky and interesting to the point that you wanted to follow their journey in each episode, and in a way were kind of sad to see them go. So we had a lot of fun brainstorming these monsters and just making them as unusual as we could, as specific as we could, and to take each one and to infuse it with a theme that addressed some different high school angst that the students were going through in each episode. So yeah, it was a pretty smooth process for us in terms of, if I look at all our projects we've worked on, this is one of the smoothest, which is nice. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Betsy, what was it like to audition the actors via Zoom as opposed to seeing them in person where you know, your eyes see what they can do and what they can't do?
I mean, to be honest, I was nervous at first. You know, I thought, oh, God, how are we going to tell, you know, what their real personality is and if they have chemistry with other actors? I will say, though, once the process started and, like, we found our Astrid and our Lily first, it was overwhelmingly obvious that, like I said before, that those two actors were just, like, going to nail it. And so, you know, yeah, it's not in person, and you're not, you know, seeing – you're not, like, getting that sort of in-person vibe from the actors, but because everyone that we cast was so right for the part – we were getting what we needed to know that, you know?
Yeah, to be able to see people be so dynamic on Zoom and to have chemistry on Zoom from two different parts of the country kind of said it all, you know? It's like if they can have that kind of chemistry when one of them's on the East Coast and one is on the West Coast and they've never met, then when they got to us in person, it was just through the roof.
One thing you notice in the first episode is there's a lot of pop culture references that the characters, Astrid and Lily, sort of bounce off each other or bounce off other people. And it came off very improvisational. Was there a lot of improvising, especially in terms of trying to put the pop culture references in?
There actually wasn't too much. A lot of that was scripted. Of course, they definitely had the freedom to improvise, but a lot of it was scripted. And, you know, we grew up during the 80s and 90s, and though the show takes place now, we wanted to also invoke the nostalgia from that time for, you know, people from our generation and for the kids coming up now. It's in color and spirit to that time that we wanted to bring that into the show.
I do want to just add, though, that Jana is, like, an incredibly talented improviser. I mean, as is Sam. And you will see moments throughout the season that were absolutely improvised.
Brutus as well.
Yeah. Olivier, who plays Brutus, is just, like, drop-dead hilarious. And, we used anything that we could that we thought fit in the scene that they improvised because, you know, they always gave us a lot of takes.
Mm-hmm. Did either of you see My So-Called Life?
Of course, yes.
I loved that series when it came on ABC. I wish, you know, that's the series that Claire Danes, you know, became overnight a star. The show only lasted one season. A lot of people think that ABC made a big mistake by not keeping on over the year. Winnie Holtzman, who created that beautiful series, was on our show a number of years ago when she had a program for Freeform, now at that time ABC Family. And one of the things that's really interesting about My So-Called Life is that, like your series, it deals with the anguish of high school and the anguish in the case of Claire Danes' character for being someone who is plain or off-kilter or not necessarily fits in with the crowd, except that people who see beyond the face, see beyond what they think. And I'm curious how My So-Called Life may have played a role in how you fashioned and with your writing team scripts and how the actors play their roles and things like that.
It wasn't a direct influence that we talked about amongst ourselves or in the writer's room, but I do think there's a parallel there. And I would say that that's true in terms of it was important to us to give the characters a depth and a groundedness that you know, not to sort of talk down to the teen age, so to speak, like let these people be as multidimensional as you are when you're a teenager and to give them that respect as characters. So I think that's something that also is true of My So-Called Life. And so, you know, that that influence probably is in there within us from having loved that show at the time. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Betsy, talk about the idea of coming up with a monster of the week. You know, way back when, The Outer Limits, the great classic television series, Leslie Stevens, the executive producer and creator of that great series, the original version ran a year and a half on ABC, used to call the idea of doing that the bear. You know, they call each individual monster the bear, and they would try to give each monster a very unique character or spin. What was it like for both of you to, starting with you, Betsy, to create the weekly monster?
I mean, honestly, it was a ton of fun. We knew right away that we wanted to create original monsters. And, I mean, you know, sitting around brainstorming the wackiest, weirdest monster you can, and then also bringing in this like thematic element of high school insecurity to each was a tremendously fun experience, I think, for us. We just laughed our way through it, and you know, can't wait to create more for season two.
Mm-hmm. We are speaking with the dynamic duo behind the brand-new sci-fi critically acclaimed series, Astro and Lily Save the World. We're talking about writers and executive producers Noelle Stammen and Betsy Von Stone. They're both with us live from Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Sean Alba, I'm with you from the other neck of the U.S. of A. That's New York City, 31 degrees right now as we speak on this final day of January 2022. Where's all the time gone? It's amazing. This looked like or sounded like it's a little minute ago or half a second ago, now a second ago. It was New Year's Eve going to New Year's Day in a brand new year. But that's the way it goes. Anyway, if you have a question or comment on our many minutes with our duo, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. And joining us Friday at our special time, 2:30 p.m. Eastern, 11:30 a.m. Pacific, we will have Pearl TV Managing Director Ann Schell talking about the deployment of next-gen television now in year two, and now in about 50 cities around the country. Green Bay, Wisconsin, one of the latest last week. And the co-star of the new Tubi movie for Black History Month, Howard High, on that multi-channel bundle, actor and singer Marquez Houston. All coming your way, 2:30 p.m. Eastern, 11:30 p.m. Pacific, here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Noelle, as we go forward, how much are we going to learn about the portal and what powers it has beyond just bringing monsters to Earth?
We will learn more as we go on, and I will say, too, that the girls' powers are connected to the portal, and they will increase a little bit through the season, but they will always remain quirky, and that's the sort of – they're never going to naturally know any sort of martial arts, for example. So much like the girls being your average person, the powers will stay a bit that way. But, yeah, we'll learn more about it. I don't want to give away any spoilers at this point, but yeah, stay tuned for more information that's going to come from Brutus partially and from some discoveries the girls make on their own as they – using their natural detective skills that they came into the series with.
Yeah. By the way, Betsy, what is Brutus? Does he come across as the bad guy or the great mentor? You know, what kind of a character is Brutus?
I mean, you know, he says it himself in the pilot. He's the Giles for the girls. Mm-hmm. As far as character goes, what we know of him is that he's dedicated to helping the girls close the portal. And he will do whatever he can to get that done. We will see layers of him uncovered that I can't reveal right now as the season goes on. And he will become a slightly more complicated character than we originally see.
We're also going to have some fun with him. He quite loves Earth, and he's going to have some little adventures just enjoying pop culture and earthly delights on his own. Stay tuned for some fun with him in that realm as well.
Yeah. Any plans to, well, in upcoming episodes to sort of do a satire on, let's say, Buffy the Vampire Slayer or other popular science fiction or classic science fiction fantasy horror shows?
Well, actually, this isn't a science fiction show, but we have an episode later in the season that plays an homage to The Breakfast Club, bringing back that 80s, 90s nostalgia I was talking about. And the kids will all be in detention. So we have that in there. And then the monster from that episode is, I would say, playing a bit of homage to The Ring, although that monster actually was inspired by a nightmare that one of our best friends had years ago. So yeah, that's one of our favorite homage episodes we have coming up.
Mm-hmm. I think we had somebody try to give us a call. So if you want to make the call, do it, 646-652-2906. I believe we also had somebody else in our chat room as well, so go for it. Also, as time goes on, are there any ideas to perhaps satirize different aspects of high school life, whether it is the prom or the sports team or the big game, whether it's football or baseball or something?
Yeah, I mean, we do, we mentioned in the first episode the theme for the high school dance, and that is going to come back around again, so we'll get to see that play out. And other than that, it's just, I would say generally, you know, there's a little bit of satirizing the sort of power of social media on students in the fourth episode. And I think those are the main ones we have right now, but yeah, to be continued. I was going to say also in terms of science fiction and horror homages, just generally we decided to lean into prosthetics for the show. Again, as fans of movies from that time, big fan of John Carpenter and Wes Craven, and we just wanted to bring that tactile monster feel to the monsters throughout the season.
Mm-hmm. For either of you, where did you film the series, and did you have any issues with the pandemic?
We filmed in a lovely town in Newfoundland, Canada, called St. John's, which is, I guess, the most eastern point on the continent. So, you know, kind of no man's land from where we are now in L.A.
On a literal island.
Yeah, on a literal island. It was a lovely place that was very restricted in who could come in and who could come out as far as COVID goes. So we were really pretty lucky. We were wearing masks on set, obviously, you know. But we really didn't run into, you know, to any giant COVID issues. It was just kind of managing it, which we were able to do, again, because, I don't know, I think there was something like when we start, or maybe when we first got to St. John's, there was only like 13 cases or something on the whole island. So it really wasn't a factor in the way that it is in New York, L.A., you know, really anywhere else.
But yeah, it was a wonderful place to film. We had access to a high school that we were able to take over and use as one of our basically studio spots. So that was pretty great. Yeah, it was a lovely place to film.
For either of you, sort of a closing question: if you get a second season, where would you like to explore? Would you like, for example, this portal to not only be a place for monsters, maybe time warps? Event warps going back in time, going forward in time. And also, are you already starting to get feedback from viewers who are saying, thank you for showing me through these characters and showing me that I can have a better life in high school, or I don't need to feel like a victim when I'm being educated?
Yeah, I think that's honestly like the most valuable feedback is from people who are saying thank you, that it is really nice, that they have someone that they can identify with in a way that they maybe couldn't before.
Yeah, that's been the most rewarding aspect for me. As Betsy said before, it was a thrill to us to even get to make this show, and it's a thrill to get to work with teenage characters and monsters. But within all that, it is so rewarding to have this show make people feel good, because even though it's about monsters, that's sort of the goal, for people to have fun and be able to feel like they're, you know, able to get a reprieve from the world today and to see themselves reflected and to feel good about that. So, yeah.
Yeah.
It's rewarding.
And to answer your other question, for season two, I'd really like to send the girls, you know, and whoever else, maybe to a portal and,
yes,
you know.
Perhaps through one of them.
Yeah, perhaps there. Through a portal, exactly. Like, we see a different world altogether. That would be really fun, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully the audience.
Mm-hmm. They may be able to meet, like, if they think the high school is the high school from hell now, they go to the future and find out a future high school that's, oh, maybe
yeah.
we should be very happy we're in 2022.
Yeah. I love the idea of a time travel. That's really
yeah.
fun. Like, thank you for that idea.
Yeah, or a high school in another dimension. What is that?
Right, like, what is a monster high school
yeah.
like?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's definitely, I mean, that's kind of the great thing about this show. You know, there's so many ways to take it or mm-hmm. places to take it. And, you know, God willing, we get a second season. Like, I just, it's going to be super fun, I think. It'll be action-packed.
For sure. And if you do use the idea, we'll talk to Sci-Fi together about the royalties. Just kidding. Anyway.
Sounds good.
Astrid and Lily Save the World, Episode 2, this Wednesday night, 10 p.m. Pacific Time on Sci-Fi. Check Lonely's web networks available in your area on cable and satellite. For more details, sci-fi.com. That's Astrid and Lily Save the World. And the hour before, Season 2 of Resident Alien, that's 9 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on Sci-Fi, available on cable and satellite. Noelle Stemmen, Betsy Van Stone, thank you both for joining us. Congratulations on the early feedback on the series, and hopefully what took place last Wednesday and this Wednesday is the beginning of a great super run for you and your series.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Lovely interview. Appreciate it.
You're very welcome, Noelle and Betsy. Take care. Enjoy the week and a new month ahead, too.
Thank you. Bye.
Noelle Stemmen and Betsy Van Stone joining us live from Los Angeles on Tomorrow Be Televised. We told you if you settled in at 3 o'clock Eastern Time, noon Pacific, for 2 hours, you were well rewarded. We think you have been. And I want to thank not only our guests today, but all of our guests this month. You have made this month our very best in a long while here on Tomorrow Be Televised, and that's an indication of what's to come, and we think this year is going to be a whale of a year for TV. Well, settle in. We got more great stuff coming your way. Don't forget, we're back with you tomorrow with the executive producer and showrunner of Fox's new series premiering tomorrow night, The Real Dirty Dancing, Dan Martin, plus Lloyd Carroll, Queens Chronicle, sports, TV, and lifestyle columnist. And don't forget Friday, we're on 2:30 p.m. Eastern, 11:30 a.m. Pacific, with Ann Schell from Pearl TV and Marcus Houston from the new Tubi movie, Howard High. If you came in late on today's episode, want to catch up on episodes you missed, go to the homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And check out our podcast for all of our episodes this month. Go to Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Robo Reads, and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. We'd love to hear what you thought about today's episode. And what are your thoughts about TV's current and future, however you see it? Give us a ring and use us as our email, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget, you also check us out on social media, specifically Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. Facebook at Simon Applebaum, LinkedIn, same address, and Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. However you check us out, we do return your response in 24 hours because what you say matters. The views expressed here are those of the participants. They are not necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio and other streamers of this program. NETO's BTR's general manager, Jay Sonberg, head of content. Website service provided by On Podium, the internet's new podcast outpost. For details, go to onpodium.com. Guitars Vegas is our web coordinator. Tomorrow Be Televised is brought to you by audible.com, the audio marketplace of amazon.com. Audible transforms the way you hear the world. For a free audiobook or two and more, it's audibletrial.com/televised. Makes a great gift for you or someone you know. For Tomorrow Be Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Have a great rest of your Monday. Back tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific. You know where, Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, TuneIn Radio, and all of our podcast affiliates. Whatever you're doing between now and then, make it safe, make it great. If you're not vaccinated, see your doctor, check them everywhere, check on all the options for the new antiviral pills now available in New York and elsewhere around the country, and then make a great choice, your choice. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.